It is time now for another round of conversations with the mayors, or in this case, conversations with the Orange County Commissioners. We've got Penny Rich, the chair of the Orange County Commissioners, here in the studio to talk about goings-on. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Not too bad.
Y'all had a long meeting last night,
right? It was,
right?
Yeah. First meeting back.
Yeah, so a lot on the agenda.
Yeah, had to get our feet wet again, and we still have, relatively new, two new commissioners, so it's always kind of fun to get them going up and running also.
I didn't think of them as new commissioners anymore, because the election just feels like it was forever ago at this point.
Yeah, it was.
And, of course, it was the primary election where the big decision was made.
And so, I also think probably because both of them have been on boards before, so
they've
been very active and very involved. And but, you know, it is different from being a Chapel Hill town councilman to becoming a commissioner. I can attest to that. And really a big jump from becoming a school board to become a county commissioner. Both spent time in the school government this weekend, and to learn how to be county commissioner. And their eyes were wide open when they came home.
Yeah. What is that process like of going through the school of government? Because they do that for all new elected officials.
They do. It's fabulous. I mean, you're in a room with folks that are teaching you basics of what it is to be a county commissioner, going through each department, learning about budget, learning about your responsibility to schools, and it's a lot of information, and you have 2 days to just sort of pick up as much as you can. Of course, we pay dues to the school of government, so you can pick up the phone and talk to them anytime.
Right.
If you have concerns, you can, our attorney actually calls them all the time to get some of their legal advice as well. So it's a lot of information in 2 days, and you come home with books and papers and lots of things to read, and then you have to apply it. And
I would love to take that 2-day class.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should. I think
everyone should. Yeah.
Well, we have our little school that we teach folks what it means to be in government, and in hopes that they continue on and get on a board of commission. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The eyes are opened, I'll tell you.
So last night, a bunch of items on the agenda, but transportation, kind of the big one. Go Triangle issued a report, short-range transit plan, both big, long discussions.
Yeah, so short-range transit plan, we had, it was just a preview because that's going right into our retreat on Friday. So we're going to continue that conversation. But, good news, there is some money to spend. We are developing different ways of supplying transportation. We talked about this last time. We are a rural county. Standard bus routes don't work. So we are thinking about on-demand service or zone service, which is a new sort of, technique to get folks around. Also some vanpooling. We're trying to get folks to sign up for vanpooling that all work at the university. Let them get down here. So we'll continue that on Friday at the retreat. And then we had the TOD, the Transit Oriented Development discussion last night. And that went for, I think, probably close to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is expected, right? It really is.
Yeah. So what did you learn at that report?
Well, so let's just lay the groundwork for folks that are listening. The Gateway Station is the one that we were talking about specifically, because it's an economic development district for us now. And I know you folks can't sort of wrap their head around that, but this is really our fourth economic development district in Orange County, if you think about it. We have Buckhorn, we have Hillsborough, we have Eno, now we have Gateway. And what that means is that we need to make sure that as we develop this, it is going to not only afford housing for folks that need to live near a transit station, but also to be able to accommodate some of the things that Chapel Hill has been talking about so much, like loss of office space. So this is these are suggestions on how to get there and what kind of tax dollars we can get back from those from that development.
And for people who don't know, Gateway is on 15501, kind of on the Chapel Hill side of 40, right?
Yeah, so Gateway actually goes between both Chapel Hill and Durham. So it's Orange County, but Chapel Hill is in their jurisdiction. So they get to make the rules, the zonings, and all, anything building in there. That's where Easttown is. That's where the Blue Cross Blue Shield building used to. It's not that anymore. It's SECU building. But so it's on two highways, 15501 and 40. Perfect access. I mean, you could land a company there that, needs that kind of access, not only to the light rail, but also access to the highway. So it's exciting. We talked about it. We also talked about how the tax dollars could really take the burden off of the homeowners in Orange County. Right now, especially in Chapel Hill, it's a 80-20 split. 80% of your tax dollars are supporting the services in Chapel Hill. It's not sustainable.
It's going to be a tough task to keep that housing affordable. as well, right? I mean, once that light rail gets built, any housing that's near the station is going to be in demand. And I know going to New York or D.C. or a place that has a really robust public transit system, you want to be near those stops.
That's
right?
Absolutely right. And you know what? You even take away from those really big cities, you go to like places like Minneapolis, or I went to the Phoenix. We had a meeting on the light rail, and that's exactly what happened. At first, you know, everyone was fighting. We don't want light rail here. And as soon as it came in, developers were really smart. They started land banking, and they got that land.
Yep.
So speaking about that, Durham is actually doing some really cool stuff. And it's not only land banking, but they have a plan for, you know, they drew their circles around their stations. They have many more stations to deal with than we do. And they are planning for affordable housing around those stations, something that we need to catch up on. You know, we only have one station to take advantage of. We really got to make this happen. And, you know, it's we have to look at this with our eyes open. We can't say, well, this is how we did things, you know, in 1990 or 1970. We have to say, okay, what is it going to look like in 2040? And I know sometimes that's hard for folks, right? Because we're not even at 2020 yet. But,
right.
But what are we looking for the future? What's our vision? You know, it's really important to think about it that way.
How do you plan for that? How do you, because the market is going to be pushing the cost of housing up there. So what can the county do to counteract that?
So, you know, this book is a 40-year plan, right? So
for people who can't see it, Penny has brought a huge book in.
I thought we'd smell a vision, you know, look a vision. This is about 450 pages that we are privy to reading. And it is a good read. You need to take your time and do it. But the vision is, so right now, if you think about Easttown and UNC, they have a 10-year vision of what's going to happen there. And 10 years is pretty, you know, it's pretty reasonable, right? But how do you get beyond that, right? And that's the big question. You know, if you build affordable housing, or if you consider affordable housing, and you put it into that sort of 99-year lease, then you can protect it, right? And so that's the kind of vision that you have. How much of that property, you know, we have about 1,300 acres that we can, you know, think about, probably a little bit less if you take away the UNC property. But it's a nice amount of land, so you can work with it and really take this book, take what the planners are working. You got to remember, Chapel Hill planners worked hand in hand with Go Triangle on this book. It's not like we pulled numbers and ideas out of the sky. This was a long 2-year project. It's a beautiful project. We got some grant money for it, and you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to start implementing some of this stuff.
Penny Rich speaking with us here. OrangeCountyNC.gov is the website for county government. If you want more information on all of that, can people access that, all the 450 pages if they want to?
Yeah, on the Go Triangle website.
On Go Triangle's website, you can go there for that. Awesome. So that was last night's meeting. You've got another meeting coming up in 2 days, and it's an all-day retreat.
I just want to mention one thing we did last night also was talk about the Green New Deal.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So I just want to mention that did pass 6-1. It was a lively conversation as well, because there's a lot in there that comes from the Green Party, and some folks are not familiar with a lot of the Green Party platforms. Actually, if you read through it, there's nothing really new in there. All those ideas have been brought forth before, but we just haven't implemented. Mm-hmm. So this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is pushing this committee to be formed, and she's asking other congressmen, congresswomen to join in to support this committee. And so that was what our resolution was last night. So that was it was a lively conversation, but we finally got through that. We focus strictly on climate change. Because we're gonna, you know, constantly see these storms here. It's costing us a lot of money. You know, I joke around about the storms, but right now in our over in solid waste, we have an abundance of mulch because of all the trees that fell down and they were brought to the solid waste department. So we have like piles and piles of mulch, and like what are we gonna do with it? You know, but that's just like if you think about the climate change,
right,
these trees fell down.
Well, and it becomes a big issue in smaller storms too. I mean, we just had like the wind blew pretty hard over the weekend because we had a front moving through, and not hard enough to knock down trees. But as it turns out, I'm driving along and there's like this tree down and this tree down. Not because that wind was bad, but because we had two hurricanes and a massive snowstorm in the last 3 months, and it probably wore down a lot of those trees.
And the ground is so wet. So wet. So, and also, you know, we talked about the Durham Chapel Hill MPO. GPO report. Again, I'm holding up a book that y'all can't see. And where Durham Chapel Hill MPO is actually looking for some comments on this. So if you can go to that website, the MPO website. And Aaron and I, you and I were just talking about this. We're heading a little bit in the wrong direction here. Mm-hmm. We're having more accidents here. More people are getting hit while riding a bike, and pedestrians are getting hit. So we're not doing something right, and we got to do better. And yes, there's more cars on the road, but still, I think that it's not a good sign for Orange County.
Yeah. Is it something that, I mean, we were talking about this before, and I was saying, well, we've got more cars on the road, so we're probably going to see more accidents, but is this something that just can't be explained away by we've got more cars on the road? Is there
other things
that you can't account for with the increased traffic?
I think increased traffic and people that are not paying attention, right? Yeah. So there's still people that are texting and driving, which is just downright frightening. Right. And you're not looking both ways. You don't see where that bike is coming. And you're like talking on the phone. And so there's that, you know, that distracted driving as well. But there are more cars on the road. And that's why, you know, if you tie this all together, mm-hmm. we need to get the cars off the road. So the comprehensive transit plan is so, so important. And so if moving on to, you know, what we're doing on Friday, part of that is you know, constantly talking about transit and comprehensive transit plan with our partners, by ourselves. What else can we do? So, yeah, day long, affordable housing is in there, economic development is in there, and I think we talked a little bit last week, the overriding theme is working, you know, get rid of the silos and really let's start working together, you know, so that's,
So affordable housing, transit, economic development, education, collaboration with the cities and, and other metropolitan kind of organizations, cities, counties, regional collaboration. It seems to be the similar topics every year. So what comes out of this retreat that we then tangibly see in the next 12 months?
Yeah, so that's a good point, because last year our overriding theme was economic development.
Right.
And so we spent the whole year on doing the, you know, SWOT analysis and what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? How can we really make sure that these economic districts are visible and out there? And so that actually happened. We had a whole lot more folks coming in and looking at the districts. Some of them have their problems. We don't own all the land in the districts, so it's hard to like organize the landowners once we have an interest. So those some of the things that we're discussing is, do we need to own the land? Do we need to have more access? Some of the roads are not, you know, some of the roads are not good. You know, the Hillsborough EDD, we had the Settlers Point looking at what we could do there, and that's kind of like, you know, we're sort of hanging on and waiting for something to happen. But we have more visibility now, and that's what we needed to do. And that came out of last year's retreat. I think what's going to come out of this year's retreat is we're going to learn that we're doing a whole lot of things twice between the county and the towns, mm-hmm. and we got to stop doing that. We're wasting time and money.
Yeah. Municipalities was the word I was trying to think of a minute ago and got stuck up.
Finding those
specific
words.
Specific things that the counties and the cities are being repetitive on?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, you can always say affordable housing,
right?
Because we all have the same issues, although the affordable housing issue really falls back into the municipalities. And why is that? Because that's where people live, right? There's more homeless people here, obviously, than there are out in the county. So that's one thing that we're doubling up on. You know, the mobile home parks, we know they are going away, and mm-hmm. we've got to be realistic about that. And so we've got to start, you know, combining efforts and work on that. You know, $1 million here, $1 million there. But what if we put our $2 million together and work on a better plan? So that's something that we absolutely can do. And the transit, getting back to that, you know, we've been working hand in hand with Chapel Hill Transit, not only for their BRT, but also to get folks up to, like, how do we get kids up to Durham Tech quicker? You know, and that's where you teach, and you know that's one of those things. Not every kid has a car, and they need to get there. So those kinds of things that we feel like we're both focusing on, but we're not focusing on together. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking with Penny Rich, orangecountync.gov for more information. Other things on your plate for the coming week?
Yeah, so the next meeting, let me just give an update on that, and I can talk about something that's happening over the weekend. We are, the two hot topics next on the February 5th meeting is, one, we're going to have to start making some decisions about the detention center. We bought the property in the northern part of the county, and it's about time that we start thinking about breaking ground and making some decisions. So we're we're having some meetings now, individual meetings with a manager, so she can show everyone proposals, and then we'll have all that information coming forward on the 5th. Also on the 5th, Go Triangle is going to be coming and giving us a report on some changes that have happened. You know, everybody wants to know about that tunnel, so we'll learn a little bit more about that. And cost differences, the cost share agreement has to be updated. And they're also going to tell us more about the government shutdown, because we still have to get a report to the FTA, but we have no communication there. So it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's not easy to come this far and then, you know, sort of be cut off from communication. So we're going to get an update on that. I'm sure that's going to be another lively discussion.
The shutdown is such the ripple effects are really starting to be seen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, we were talking about the budget, which that talk is coming up. And God, hopefully the shutdown is going to be done by June. But at this point,
you just don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, budget, because, you know, we have an upcoming meeting, our first meeting with the school collaboration meeting on February 12th. And that is how we begin our budget discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people think that we just do it at the end. But no, we start with the schools in February so they can get us something around, you know, April, May. So we know where we're going with our budget. But yeah, how do you, they always wait for the state, but now you have to wait for the feds
right, too.
It's a disaster.
I've always been fascinated, and we've said this over and over the last few years, like, oh God, the state government and everything going on in Raleigh, it's so horrible. The state government in North Carolina has functioned so well relative to the federal government.
Right, I know.
Like even in the last 5 or 6 years, but God, especially now.
Yeah. And we even have a surplus we have a surplus.
For the fourth year in a row, I think.
I mean, it's so, you know, I do think, though, that should not be sitting in a rainy day fund. Let's spend that. Let's get
right,
that back,
right.
Especially for education. Let's move that back over.
Yeah.
So that's happening. I do want to talk about something fun from the Sierra Club that's happening this weekend on the 27th. And everybody's invited. This is at the public library. And they're talking about climate change and, you know, climate resolutions and what we can do to help not only locally, but, you know, what our state, and then think about federally. And it's meeting room B, Chapel Hill. And it is at 12 o'clock on the 27th. And you can actually sign up for this at bit.ly/climate resolutions. And I think it's going to be well attended. We do have some elected officials that are going to talk about climate. You know, Mark Markopoulos, Sammy Slade, Jen Weaver, and I don't know if Rachel Chavez is coming, but that was that ad hoc committee mm-hmm. that formed to, instruct or give instruction to the boards moving forward. So I think that's going to be a good event. Hopefully,
awesome.
It'll be
at the public library?
It is at the public library.
Awesome. OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on that and other events. Penny Rich, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.